Matthew chapter 6. Thank you.
No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labour or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, in all his splendour, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But first, seek his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own.
Thanks, Jess Anne. Let's pray now and ask God for his help. Father, thank you for your word, and we ask this morning that you would help us. May we understand it, may we receive it with joy and glad hearts and faith. Amen. Well, anxiety is really everywhere, isn't it? One in six Aussies have a clinical anxiety disorder of some kind. Just 3 weeks ago, a clinical psychologist in Brisbane published an article. As you can see, the title of this was, Why is Mental Health Rising in Australia? In 2025, This Isn't Good Enough. And the quote that really caught my attention, and not just because it was sort of bold in the middle of the article, what caught my attention was this quote here. When psychology knows the answer to mental health, why isn't it fixed? When psychology knows the answers to mental health, why isn't it fixed? And what caught my attention about this is not the question at the end of that sentence, but it's actually the assumption at the beginning. See that? The assumption that psychology knows the answers to mental health, i.e., psychology, we know the antidote, the cure to anxiety, to depression, to all of these conditions. Well, according to this, if psychology has the antidote, but the question kind of betrays that, doesn't it? Because really, the question at the end brings that assertion into question. See, when psychology knows the answer to mental health, well then, why isn't it fixed? In other words, if we have the antidote, we have more psychologists than ever before, why isn't it fixed? Well, really, it's because it's not. We don't have the antidote in psychology. And actually, clinical anxiety, you know, the one in six kind of stats, is only the tip of an iceberg of a way bigger problem, which is not just sort of diagnosable clinical disorders, but actually that underlying anxiety, worry, stress that affects every person, which is far bigger than just those who are diagnosed with clinical conditions. See, anxiety, we know, don't we, plays a huge part of the lives of every Aussie. Most Aussies worry about relationships, cost of living, the future of our world, about our country, our economy, and about our kids and our grandkids. And we worry about a lot of things, don't we? And the reality is that psychology doesn't have the antidote, the answers to that worry. Now, I'm not at all dissing psychologists, and I'm not at all denying the seriousness or the reality of clinical mental health disorders. I've benefited greatly from seeing psychologists over the years, and definitely will affirm that there are real conditions where our brains and our chemistry and our bodies just act differently to how they should, like other illnesses and diseases. But what I want to say is, as helpful as those things can and often are be, they actually don't have the answer that brings a cure, and only Jesus does. So our first point that we're going to look at here is that Jesus not only brings the answer, but he also brings a different tone to this conversation. Have a look there at verse 25. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. Now, have you noticed, I notice this a lot with my teenage kids, is we can use the same words in exactly the same sequence and mean very different things depending on the tone, right? Like, you know, yeah, right, can mean lots of different things. And the tone here is really, really important. And now, I don't know if you remember in the 80s, whose memory goes back long enough to remember the 80s, and you might remember this song. Let me see if I can still whistle. Oh, yeah, come on, let's have a swing. Oh, man, I can't do it anymore. All right, so as soon as you start smiling, it's impossible to whistle. Remember that song, Don't Worry, Be Happy, right? Don't worry, be happy. This guy actually picked this phrase from an Indian guru, a guy who claimed himself to be God on earth. And it actually, you think about it, don't worry, be happy. Like, isn't that a ridiculous statement? It's actually really dismissive, isn't it? It's like saying the things that you're going through actually don't matter. It doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter what you're anxious about. It doesn't matter what you're stressed or depressed about. The thing itself is inconsequential. It dismisses it completely. It says, just don't worry. Just be happy. Now, is that the tone that Jesus brings? Therefore, I tell you, don't worry. No, Jesus is not dismissive here and expecting us to pretend that the things we're worried about aren't real or big. But also, his tone is not harsh or commanding. Now, if you've been plagued with anxiety and you've come across this verse, I wonder if you've actually found it's increased your anxiety. Maybe you've come to this verse as an anxious person and, oh, Jesus is going to talk about anxiety here and it's going to comfort me. And then you read those words, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life. And you go, but I worry all the time, actually. And Jesus has just given me this command and I've disobeyed him and he's telling me not to worry. Now I'm worried about worrying and not worrying and I'm even more worried than I ever was before. See, here we can read with the wrong tone that Jesus is being kind of strict here, or he's being harsh, but actually that's not what he's doing. He's not dismissive, he's not harsh. So what is his tone? Well, his tone here is actually caring and gentle and kind and soothing, like a kind and gentle parent, which no parent is all the time, but a kind and gentle parent in their best moment trying to soothe their child who's afraid of the dark. Or a caring wife who's gently assuring her husband as they sit on the tarmac and he's got a phobia of flying. It's like a kind friend comforting a mate who's terrified about going into a job interview. What's Jesus' tone? It's not, don't be anxious. It's not, don't you be anxious. Do not be anxious. I know in this room there are a lot of fears and anxieties, a lot of worries that we have. And what an amazing comfort to know that Jesus doesn't dismiss those. He doesn't say, just be happy. He doesn't point the finger and say, you stop worrying right now. No, Jesus comes comforting, caring, my dear child, don't be anxious. What incredible words from the God of all the universe, who loves us, who gave his life for us to save us. But they might seem to you hollow words, empty words, just sort of sentiment. Well, it's nice for Jesus to say that. But what comfort does that give? Our second point we notice here that actually Jesus, he teaches us, he doesn't just tell us not to worry, he gives us reasons. And he gives here five truths that show why we don't need to worry. Truth one is that there's more to life. Have a look again at verse 25 there. Therefore, Jesus says, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat or drink, or about your body, what you'll wear. Is not life more than food? And the body more than clothes? Now, I don't know about you, but I don't remember the last time I worried how I was going to eat and not starve, or what I was going to wear because otherwise I'm going to be naked. You know, if I'm worrying about what to wear, it's just because I look in my wardrobe full of clothes and I just, you know, don't like the look of them. If I'm worrying about what to eat, it's not because there's nothing to eat and I haven't eaten for days. It's because I look in the cupboard and I just don't like the look of what's there, right? See, these things that Jesus mentions, they're not superfluous things, are they? He's actually mentioning, talking about the bare essentials that keep someone alive and on this side of the dirt, not that side of the dirt. See, Jesus says food, drink, clothes. Don't worry about those things. Not because they're not important. Not because you can live without them, because actually you can't. Maybe clothes, but you can't live without food and water for very long. Our lives without those things will stop. So what is Jesus saying? Well, he's saying actually that there's something more to our life than just staying alive. There's something more about our life because all of our lives will run out and end. We'll all end up on that side of the dirt at some point. But this life is not all that there is to life. There is more to life than the amount of days and hours and minutes and seconds that you and I can stay alive and breathing for. There is more. The Bible tells us that God has put eternity in our hearts. We will go on beyond this life. And actually, that's more important than how long we go on in this life for. So Jesus says eternity is something we should worry about more than how long we can keep our life going for. And our bodies, well, God's given them to us to use for his glory. First truth, there is more to life than the things that we worry about, even the most essential. And the second truth, your Father cares about you. Have a look at verse 26. He says, okay, guys, I'm going to help you out here. Here's a little illustration. Here's a case in point. Look at the birds of the air. They don't farm. They don't gather seed and plant it in the ground and water it and then come and reap it and store it in barns. And yet, your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they are? Then have a look at verse 28. Why do you worry about clothes? Look at the flowers of the field. Now, there are flowers in that part of the world or in and around Israel that literally just overnight kind of spring up and then last a day. And they look amazing for one day and then just bake, gone, shrivel. He's saying, hang on, look at these flowers. Look how amazingly good God clothes them, how amazingly good they look just for one day. But actually, even King Solomon, Israel's king, who was the wisest and one of the richest and wealthiest and probably best-dressed kings Israel ever had, even on his best hair day, with his best robe and his best shoes, he didn't look as good as those flowers. Verse 30, if that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown in the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? See, God looks after the birds and the grasses, but he cares about his children infinitely more. Now have a look there at verse 26. How would we maybe assume that would read? I'll tell you how I would assume that verse would read. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet their heavenly Father feeds them. But it's not their heavenly Father. Whose heavenly Father is it? Our heavenly Father. So in other words, those birds out there, God's not their father. And yet look what he does for them. But you in here, you who have come to him, come to faith in Christ and been adopted as his children, you are his children. If he looks after those birds when he's not their father, won't he look after you when he is? There's more to life. Your father cares about you. Third truth, your father knows your needs. Have a look at verse 31. And we're just going to skim through these last ones a little bit. Do not worry saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans, in other words, the unbelievers who don't know God, who God is not their heavenly father, who have not turned to Jesus, those people run after all those things. But you're not pagans. You're God's people, his children. He is your father, and your heavenly father knows that you need those things. He knows. There's more to life. Your father cares about you. Your father knows your needs. And point four, worry doesn't help anything. Now, this kind of seems sort of self-evident, but self-evident things are often, you know, the things that we struggle most to grasp. Have a look at verse 27. Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Can you? If you worry more, will you live a bit longer? This is probably the opposite, right? You'll probably have coronary and a heart attack or something. But you can't, worry doesn't help anything. So, you know, the world will agree with us there. Yeah, it's just illogical. But lastly, five, today has enough trouble. Have a look there at verse 34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. See, the reality about worry is it's future, isn't it? There's pain, which is I'm going through something now and it's hard. But worry is always about the future. Worry is always starting to experience pain now for something that hasn't come yet. Do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow, that'll come. Then you can worry about it. That'll worry about itself. But each day, today, has enough trouble of its own. See, Jesus doesn't say don't prepare for the future. He doesn't say don't think about the future, don't plan for the future, don't sort of get ready. He doesn't, but he says we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. Right now you're on a different bridge. Worry about getting over that one. And don't start feeling the pain of what might come before it's come. Focus on the challenges and the opportunities that God's put before us today. There's more to life. Your father cares for you. Your father knows your needs. Worry doesn't help anything, and today has enough trouble of its own. See, Jesus is not saying here, don't worry, be happy. What he is saying is if you are God's child, if he is your heavenly father, don't worry. Because he loves you. He cares for you. You will be looked after. And actually, even if, and we know, don't we? Some Christians do starve to death. Some Christians do go naked and beaten and persecuted. And has God failed his promise? Now, what does he say here? He will clothe you. He will feed you. Remember, your life is more than the time you have here on this earth. Because right now, I'm not dressed as good as Solomon. Is there anyone here who reckons that they could probably compete with Solomon for how good your threads are? Anyone? No? I don't think any of us could compete with Solomon, right? Jesus wasn't promising that because you're God's child, I will dress you like Solomon now. No. He will clothe you. We will have every blessing, everything we need. We don't need to worry. And these truths are fundamental to life, free from anxiety. But there's another ingredient here in verse 31 for a life free of anxiety. Have a look at verse 31. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. See, worry, anxiety, is not for the Christian, not for the believer, not for God's child. It's for the unbeliever. It's for the one who isn't God's child, who isn't a follower of Jesus. And Jesus lets us in on a huge truth here that's going to be quite confronting. See, someone who's not a follower of Jesus, and that might be you, there's no secret source here in Jesus' teaching that you can take away. It's not like you can go, oh, there's a little gem, a little bit of wisdom, I'll just take that. And I'll apply that, and I'll live the worry-free life that Jesus has taught about without Jesus. See, you can't have the benefits of Jesus' teaching. You can't have the blessing of a life free from anxiety unless you have Jesus, the one who gives the blessing, who is the blessing, who takes our anxiety from us. See, if you're not my son or daughter, don't expect to find your name on my will to receive an inheritance like you're my son or daughter, because it's not going to be there. And if God's not your heavenly Father, don't expect him to treat you like his child. Don't expect that you can hang on to these promises that are for his children. See, he invites everyone, he invites you to come and be adopted. He invites you to come and know that life where he frees us from anxiety. But you can't have it if you won't accept him as your father. See, the most important of these five truths are only true for those who are God's children. Well, what if you are God's child and you think, but hang on, I am God's child, and I still feel overwhelmed with worry. I still feel crushed by it. And well, the answer is the same. The answer is still to hear those truths, to be reminded that our life is more. These are the things that don't last. To be reminded what a great Father we have, and to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. To focus first on the hope that's stored up for us. To focus first on the work that he's given us to do. Focus first on the Spirit living inside us to give us the power to serve him each day. Focus first on being obedient and prayerful and good. Focus first on loving God, loving people, and growing disciples of Jesus. See, when our number one concern is God's kingdom, is pursuing the righteousness that he gives and obeying and following and honouring him, the other things that we're worried about fade to the background. Now, many of you will have heard before of Corrie ten Boom, a Jewish Christian who was captured eventually by the Nazis and thrown into concentration camp, and all of her family was killed. And here are a few quotes from Corrie, which I just thought were so helpful. As a believer who knew in the midst of her pain and anguish and suffering that she had a heavenly Father who took away her anxiety and worry, she said this: "Worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength." Sounds a lot like she was reading what Jesus said to us about each day having trouble with his own. Worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. In other words, if I worry about tomorrow, it's still going to be just as hard. But if I worry about tomorrow, it empties today of the strength, of the good things that God's prepared for me to enjoy, to receive, and to do, even if today is a hard and painful day. She says this: "Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God." Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. I mean, that's what worry is, right? Either that we don't know what the future is and we worry about all the bad things that could be, or we know there's something bad coming and we worry about that, but don't trust an unknown future. Don't be afraid to trust an unknown future to the God that we do know. We know he is good. We can trust our unknown to him. And our last one, last quote you may have heard before, she says, "If you look at the world, you'll be distressed," right? Look around. It's pretty distressing. "If you look within, you'll be depressed." And our world, 1 in 6, why do you think that is? We're all looking within. "But if you look at God, you'll be at rest." Do not worry, says Jesus. Well, as we finish, I just want to do the kind of the machine gun thing of just punching out just 5 very, very quick ways that actually this really transforms our life. The first is kind of tapping into what Walter and I were talking about this morning, is in money and generosity. See, worry is a massive killer of generosity, isn't it? Because if I'm worried about my future, I'm worried that if I give away this money that then I'm going to end up in some awful state. That really kills any generosity. See, worry teaches us not to trust God, but to trust our money instead for our security and our standard of living. Another way is work. Now, I don't know if you've noticed, but there's a kind of an increasing number of very smart, very capable young people who do well at school, do well at uni, and then freeze up and don't enter the workforce. There can be great worry about, well, hang on, what if I've trained for this and I turn out to be no good? Or what if I get to it and I've put in all this effort and it doesn't turn out to be the job that I thought it was going to be? And often I think there's this worry, this anxiety that actually stops young people from doing something. And it's not just young people either. Another way is service. Service to God. Service as Christians. Ministry. We can worry that maybe we won't serve well enough, or that we're not good enough, or that we'll make a mess of it. Worry really affects our relationships, whether that's friendships or romantic ones or Christian fellowship. We hold back from relationships because we're worried that maybe it will hurt. Of course it's going to hurt. It's a relationship. Maybe it won't work out the way I want it to work out. And the last is in sacrifice. That sort of FOMO, the fear of missing out. We're afraid to give up things for Jesus because we think we'll miss out. we think we'll miss out on something else. And we will. But at the end of the day, when we get to his kingdom, we're going to look back at those things that we missed out on and go, that was like kitty litter. See, when we seek first his kingdom, it transforms us. To be able to be generous, to be able to go and work, to be able to serve others, to be able to invest in relationships, to be able to sacrifice things for the sake of God's kingdom. Have a look there on your outline. You see the big idea for today. Our worries fade away when we entrust ourselves to our Father and worry about his kingdom. Do not worry. Seek first his kingdom. And all these things will be added to you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus' incredibly kind, gentle, and comforting words to us. Please help us to receive these truths. Please help us to entrust an unknown future to you, our Heavenly Father, who we know and who knows us completely. May we put your kingdom first and worry no more. Amen. The last thing I just want to say is that if you would like to do a little bit more thinking, read something else that's really helpful about anxiety. There's a guy from Sydney, Pastor Paul Grimmond, who has had anxiety for many years. He wrote a wonderful book just a couple of years ago called The Noise Won't Stop. So write that down, look it up online, get yourself a copy of that. It's fantastic.